Thank you for coming tonight. I think you're in for a treat as you meet some folks who came to know Christ as Savior and hear their testimonies. A few of them were saved just very recently, one last week, one 2 weeks ago, in different aspects of our church's ministry. And it's exciting to meet these people and see how they came to know Christ. Tonight I want to talk about baptism for a few minutes. Because in a little while, you're going to see some folks climb into that tank. And some people may be here tonight and saying, what in the world are they doing? They're going to get immersed in water and they're going to come up dripping wet in plain view of everybody. Girls' hair is going to be all springy and everything, you know. And they're going to maybe be a little embarrassed about that. I hope not, because it really doesn't matter. That's not the important thing, you see. Then they'll climb out of the tank and they'll go back in the dressing rooms and get dried off and change their clothes and go home. And some people in the world are going to say, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. What in the world is all that for anyway? I mean, what does that mean? Why will these people do that? Why have most of you who are here tonight done that? Some will say, well, they do it because we're following Christ in baptism. I've heard that terminology used frequently. We're following Christ in baptism. What does that mean anyway? Well, I've asked people what that means. And oftentimes they will say it means that we are being baptized just as Jesus was baptized. We are doing what Jesus did. Because Jesus did it, we do it. And for the same reasons that Jesus did, we do it. This may come as a surprise to you, but I don't think that's why we get baptized. If that's what following Christ in baptism means to some people, then I think they really are not understanding the Scripture accurately. We don't get baptized because Jesus got baptized, and we do not get baptized for the same reasons that Jesus was baptized. I think it might be helpful for us to see why Christ submitted to baptism, and then compare that to what the Bible says are the reasons we get baptized. Let's see the two together and learn what I think would be called the proper explanation of following Christ in baptism, just to help us understand what we're going to witness tonight a little bit better. Can we do that? Open your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 21. 31, excuse me. John 1:31. Why was Christ baptized? Let's find out why. I think there are two basic reasons revealed in the Scripture. The first reason is right here in John 1, and that is to identify him as the Messiah. Jesus was baptized to identify him as the Messiah. Do you ever ask yourself, how is Almighty God going to identify Jesus of Nazareth as his eternal son and Israel's Messiah? How's he going to do that? Well, you know some ways he did it. Particularly at his birth, he announced that the Messiah was going to be born to Mary. He announced it to Joseph. That night of his birth, he announced it to shepherds on a hillside. He announced it to some brilliant astronomer scholars way over in Persia. He announced it to an old man and an old woman in the city of Jerusalem, one named Anna, and the man named Simeon, the woman named Anna. He announced that his son had been born, Messiah had come. But now it's some time later. What's he going to do to identify Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah 30 years later when he begins his public ministry? Let me show you what he did. I'm reading in John chapter 1, verse 31. John the Baptist is speaking. And he says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. One of the major purposes of John's whole ministry of baptism was to reveal Jesus to the nation. That's what it says right there. but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. That's a very revealing passage of Scripture. One of the major reasons John baptized at all was for this one event, when Jesus was revealed to the nation Israel and identified as her Messiah. Now, I don't know how John knew the dove-like form that lighted on him was the Holy Spirit. I don't know that. But nobody could mistake that voice from heaven. That was very, very clear to all. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There was no mistake about it. That occasion was the time God identified Jesus as his Son and the Savior. And to give occasion to that momentous announcement was one obvious reason for Jesus' baptism. But it's not the only reason. Turn back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. I want to show you another reason, please. Matthew 3. Let's begin in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Why? I mean, John's baptism, we've learned in the Scripture, was a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. Jesus never sinned. Jesus didn't need to repent. Jesus didn't have anything of which he needed to be forgiven. Why should he submit to a baptism of repentance unto the forgiveness of sins when he wasn't a sinner, didn't need to repent, didn't have anything to be forgiven for? John seems to have suspected as much. And he balked at the idea of baptizing Jesus. He seems to have understood what was about to happen, as though God gave him some supernatural insight. It says in verse 14, John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us, for us, you and me, John, right here and now in this water, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. There's the reason. Number two, to fulfill all righteousness. And now you know as much as you knew before I said it, don't you? Because that's a pretty hard statement to understand. What does that mean, to fulfill all righteousness? Well, think about it with me, please. Just think it through for a moment. Christ came to provide eternal righteousness for sinful people like you and me, and therefore to fit us to enter heaven, to equip us for heaven. That's his primary reason for coming, to give us righteousness. How could he do that? Well, for one thing, he had to fulfill all the righteous demands of God's law himself. He had to live a perfect life, carry out the entire will of God. That way he would have no sins of his own to pay for, and he could die as our substitute in our place and pay for our sins. It's the only way he could do it. He couldn't pay for our sins if he had his own sins to pay for. So he fulfilled all the will of God. He was circumcised on the eighth day, just as the law demanded. He was presented in the temple on the 40th day, just the way the law demanded. He went to Jerusalem for the Passover, just the way the law demanded. And he did everything else that the law required of him in order to fulfill all righteousness. He always did the things that pleased the Father. He said that himself, in order to fulfill all righteousness. But now, through John the Baptist, God is also requiring the people of Israel to repent and to be baptized as a testimony to their repentance. Jesus had no sin of which to repent, but just as he had submitted to every other requirement and command of the Father, so he submitted to this command to be baptized. Because as he put it to John, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, as he testified on that other occasion, he always did the things that pleased the Father, and this pleased the Father. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb, without blemish and without spot. He did everything the Father asked him to do. He was sinless. And for that reason, he was qualified to pay for our sins. It was part of fulfilling all righteousness. But you see, he could not die in our place and provide us with eternal righteousness unless he were one of us. He couldn't take our place unless he was one with us. He became one with us at his birth. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the eternal Word of God, became flesh, took upon himself human form, human flesh, like yours and mine. But it was also important for him to publicly identify himself with us, so that when he died, it would be clear to all that he was one of us, that he could die for us, in our place, as our representative, and so provide for us the eternal righteousness that we need to enter heaven. Let me show you a passage of Scripture that describes this. It's Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's us, the children, we have flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, in order to provide our salvation, he needed also to be flesh and blood like us. He couldn't be our representative and die in our place unless he was one with us. That oneness took place at the incarnation, at his birth. That's when he took human flesh. It wasn't sinful flesh. Paul is very careful to distinguish that in Romans 8 and verse 3. It was like sinful flesh. It was real flesh, but it only appeared to be like sinful flesh. But what he was doing in those baptismal waters was taking his place with us. He had never sinned. He had nothing of which he needed to repent. Yet he was identifying himself with sinful human beings like you and me, so that he could take our place and bear our sins and impart to us his righteousness. It was necessary, he said, for him to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. Now, it should be abundantly clear that neither of these reasons apply to our baptism. None of us is the Messiah, so we're obviously not going to be baptized in order to identify the Messiah. You're not going to hear any voice from heaven tonight saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's obviously not the reason anybody's being baptized tonight. Secondly, none of us will ever perfectly do all the will of God in this life. We just won't do it. We're going to talk about that more in our series on the Holy Spirit. I think it's a very important concept that needs to be clearly embedded in our minds. We are going to struggle with sin to our dying day. And while God has the resources available to us to enjoy victory over sin, none of us is going to be perfect in this life. At least I don't know anybody who is. And my wife will testify very loudly and clearly that I'm not. So we are obviously not being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We are not following Christ in baptism tonight by being baptized in this for the same reason he was baptized or because he was baptized. That's not what we're doing. We are not doing what Jesus did because he did it and we want to be like Jesus. That is not what it means to follow Christ in baptism. Well, what does it mean then? And why do we get baptized? Now, while what I've shared with you in the last few minutes may have been new to some of you, this that we will share now is something that we've been through many times before. But let's review it tonight. Let's remind ourselves of just exactly why we're doing what we're doing tonight. There are three basic reasons why a believer should be baptized. The first one is the simplest, and yet the most profound and the most important. While it is not to fulfill all righteousness, It is to obey the command of Christ. It is to fulfill the word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." Jesus commanded his followers to be baptized. Well, first he commanded them to get involved in a disciple-making process. But he clearly explained that that disciple-making process included baptism. It's a part of the process. People argue today that it doesn't mean the same thing that in our culture as it did in Bible times. But that's beside the point. We are followers of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. The suffix I-A-N, Christian, means a follower of, belonging to, an adherent of Christ. We are followers of Christ. We belong to Him. He is our Lord and Master. If He said we're supposed to get baptized and we are followers of Him, then we ought to be baptized. It's just that simple, just that plain. If there were no other reason, that one would be enough. Jesus said to do it. And if we don't do it, we are disobedient to the one whom we claim to follow. And that doesn't make any sense. To knowingly, willfully disobey the one whose adherents we claim to be doesn't make any sense. When Peter stood to preach on the day of Pentecost, he echoed the same words of the Lord Jesus. Speaking by inspiration of God's Spirit, he said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Once you have turned from your sin and trusted Jesus Christ, then be baptized, Peter said. It's a command. It isn't an option if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ. It is a command. And that's enough. If you want to be an obedient Christian, you will submit to water baptism. Following Christ in baptism means following Christ's command and doing what Christ commanded us to do. That's the simplest and yet the most profound and important reason for baptism. Jesus said to do it. We could stop there, but I'm not going to do that because there are two other reasons in the scripture. The second is to confess our faith in Christ. Every instance of baptism in Scripture that I can find and have studied, without exception, took place after people trusted Christ as Savior from sin. Not before, but after. And it seems, now I can't prove this in a couple instances, but it would seem very likely, even in those instances, it's very, very logical to assume in those instances that there were witnesses to that fact. Now let me say it again. Every instance of baptism in the Scripture takes place after conscious understanding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior from sin, and it would seem in every instance there are witnesses. In other words, water baptism was a public testimony to their faith in Jesus Christ. It made a statement to everyone who knew them. The statement was, "I am finished with my old life. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and my desire is to do His will. It is to please Him." And if there are any unbelievers present at the baptism whose lives were firmly dedicated to sinful living, they might as well wave goodbye to their friends when they dipped down in that water. Because when they emerged from that water, they would not be joining them in their sinful activities any longer. So long, folks. You're gone. You're a new person. You are committed to a new way of life, and my life is no longer going to be satisfactory to you, and we're not going to be able to relate to each other very well any longer. Goodbye. Their baptism testified to a break with their old life and a commitment to live for Jesus Christ. And throughout church history, that has been the case. Unbelievers have characteristically, throughout history, tolerated a person's profession of faith in Christ until his baptism. And when he's been baptized, from that moment on, they wrote him off. He was gone. In some cultures, they had funeral ceremonies and pronounced him dead. He had publicly, permanently, and irreversibly taken his stand for Jesus Christ. That's what baptism symbolized. It was a public confession of one's irrevocable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that's true in many cultures today as well. Not only in the past, in church history. There are places today in the world where faith in Christ will be tolerated until baptism. And then sometimes there's even the threat of death from that point on. Well, we don't have the threat of death, and our culture really doesn't view it in that light, but it doesn't make any difference. It says the same thing today. These people who are going to get in that tank in a few minutes and be immersed in water are saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And whatever it costs me, I intend by His grace and His power to live for Him. That's following Christ in baptism, you see. It is following Him as our lifestyle, as our way of life, and testifying to our intent to do that by submitting to the waters of baptism. To confess our faith in Christ, as well as to obey the command of Christ. But I think there's one more reason, beside obeying the command and confessing our faith, clearly revealed in the New Testament, and that is to picture our relationship with Christ. And now we're into the meaning of baptism, which we've explained on a number of occasions. Identification. Take a piece of cloth, dip it in dye. It turns the same color as the dye. In other words, it becomes identified with the dye. That's one of the most common uses of this word in ancient literature, the word bapto, from which the word baptism comes. And so we, when the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus Christ, we become identified with Christ. We become what He is. We take on His color, His life, His righteousness, His accomplishments. He died to sin, so now we are dead to sin. We don't have to obey it as our Lord and Master any longer. We can obey it. We choose to obey it sometimes, unfortunately, but we don't have to obey it. We are now identified with Jesus Christ, and since He is dead to sin, our position in Him is dead to sin. See, we take on the same color He has. He rose to new life, so we are now alive with new life. Eternal spiritual life. Life that possesses by its very nature the ability to overcome sin and please God. New life. This is all described in Romans chapter 6. Let's just look at it, shall we? We've been there before. Let's just review it tonight. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? You see, we took on the same color He has. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. The person we were before we were saved was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You see? Now, water baptism doesn't do that, as we well know. It doesn't identify us with Christ. The Holy Spirit does that at the moment of our salvation. When He places us in union with Christ, when He baptizes into the body of Christ. But water baptism pictures that. Somebody suggested that baptism is like a wedding ring. Here's my wedding ring. It's inscribed on the inside. Mary doesn't like me to take it off. But it's inscribed on the inside, MGG to RLS, 61954. It's a symbol of something. What that symbolizes is that one day I stood at the front of a church in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and committed myself to her. And that says that. That says it to the world. I wear that so the world knows that I made a decision one day, that a transaction was made at the front of that church when I committed myself to her and pledged myself to her for life. Baptism symbolizes another transaction. The transaction was made when we acknowledged our sin and opened our hearts to Jesus Christ for salvation. A ring doesn't make you married any more than baptism saves you. But if you're married, it's a good idea to wear the ring so the world knows that by that symbol that you have identified yourself with that person for life. I think that's a good idea. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, it's a good idea to wear the ring. It's a good idea to get baptized and let the world know by that symbol that you have identified yourself with Jesus Christ. That in Him, you are dead to sin and alive unto God. You possess new, spiritual, eternal life. And it's not only a good idea, it's a command of our Lord. That's following Christ in baptism. So what are these people doing in this tank of water tonight? They're following Christ in baptism. If we understand that phrase correctly, they're not getting baptized because Christ got baptized or for the same reasons that Christ was baptized. But they are doing what Christ wants them to do because they are His followers. They are Christians. They belong to Christ. So they want to do His will. And true followers of Christ want to obey Him, and He said to be baptized. And they want to confess publicly their faith in Him. And they want to wear the symbol of their relationship with Him. And that's why they get baptized. So I want you to meet some followers of Christ tonight. Some folks who are following Him in baptism. Let's pray God's blessing on them as they take this step of faith tonight, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for these folks who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior from sin, have put their faith in Him and have been baptized into the body of Christ by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. They are in Christ Jesus. And they've been sealed in Him unto the day of redemption. And we praise You, O God. Thank You now that they're willing to take this step of public testimony in obedience to the command of our Savior to reveal their identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that even as they do it, their own lives will be blessed and encouraged. That it will be, in a sense, a new beginning for them, a new commitment to live for Jesus Christ. And I pray for all of those who watch. May it be an encouragement to us, an encouragement to share our faith, to introduce others to the Savior, and to follow through with the commitment we made one day when we pledged ourselves to Him. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.